doing now is similar to what he did in Buffalo. He just had to clear some of the cobwebs. Play action. Rodgers on time. Skoronek. Touchdown. Second down and goal. Jonnu Smith on the pop pass. He got to the pylon and he's in. Touchdown, Steelers. First and goal. Fields trying to do it himself. Extends for the score. Touchdown, Jets. For the Jets.
Oh, wide open.
And he hits. Jalen Warren. Touchdown, Steelers. Kick from Boswell. Gibson returning. Oh, and, oh, he loses the ball. The bobble and turnover.
Gainwell.
The cough up by Gibson, and the Steelers take over. Tied for first with Minnesota. They had 17 interceptions. Fake the handoff. Rodgers under a rush. Wide open. Touchdown. Calvin Austin. Aaron Rodgers comes back to Jersey. Fields on fourth down. Steps up. Fields delivers. Catch made. Oh. And the ball is jarred loose. Garrett Wilson could not secure it. And Jalen Ramsey has slammed the door shut. 29 Pro Bowls acquired by the Steelers during the offseason. And it pays off in the end. Aaron Rodgers gets a win in his first game as a Steeler.
Wow, was that an entertaining football game? That's all I keep thinking about, Bob, is in some ways you just want to be entertained. You want a diversion from real life. You want to be over at somebody's house or perhaps hosting a party and, you know, on the edge of your seat the whole time and jumping up and cheering and yelling in anger and you want to be wildly entertained. And the Steelers certainly have had a lot of games go down to the wire. They always do, but a high-wire act like that is rare in these parts.
Especially
in
opening
years.
Day.
On opening
and
day.
And on opening
yes.
drive, and there's a touchdown, and all the things we haven't seen in a long time. And that was, I always say that the NFL is the best reality TV there is, because there is. I mean, it's reality right in front of you, and there's no, you know, script like some of these shows have. It is what it is. And, man, it was an entertaining game. I never expected that many points.
Nobody did. 34-32. It was just fun and entertaining. I'm going to ignore the shot that Kabali took at me late in his show saying I'd be beating my chest about the defense playing so bad after Tomlin said they'd be historically good. Maybe I won't ignore it, Bob. Will I? I try to give a balanced view of the Steelers.
Absolutely.
And as Crowley told Kabali, absolutely. And then Kabali gave some lame explanation like Mike Tomlin was trying to challenge his defense this year by saying they would be historically good. First of all, he's got the timeline wrong. Tomlin was the last guy who spoke about the defense being great and even historically great. Everybody else talked about it before then. And when you write that kind of check, you better be ready to cash it every week. But that's not the story today. Like I said, I try to give a balanced view of the Steelers. I'm not here to kiss Steeler ass every day, but today I will, Bob. Smooch, smooch. It was a great offensive performance, and the story today is Aaron Rodgers. Second and 12 used to be a death knell. Well, used to be, like in the past 5 years. Second and 12, they're done. They're going to punt. No running game, no offense. Fall behind in a game, you're probably done. That may have changed. Aaron Rodgers looked great. His mobility will be a concern in some games for sure, but last I checked, Tom Brady never had any and certainly didn't have any in his mid-40s, but what he made up for it with and what Rodgers could make up for his lack of mobility with is football acumen, identifying things before the snap, getting rid of the ball quickly, beating teams with his brain, and just being generally smart, and also not just quickly, but accurately with that hair trigger release that he's got. I'm highly, highly encouraged by his performance yesterday, and that was without a running game and without a left tackle. He did that. So imagine if those two things ever come to fruition. He's the story today in that he gives this team and its fans hope that they can win games like that against the Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons of the world. I don't think Justin Fields is going to be that, but he was great yesterday. And last night, we saw that the Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons of the world have problems on their own defenses. Can the Steelers finally have an offense and a quarterback that could exploit them in a big moment like a playoff game? I'm not going to say yes after one game, but I will say, Bob, that I'm highly, highly encouraged by the performance of Aaron Rodgers.
It's a dimension they haven't had since Ben Roethlisberger. Let's face it. He had the best passer rating of any quarterback on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster since 7 years ago. No one in those 7 years has had a better rating in one game than he had yesterday.
Yeah.
And that tells you what you need to know about what you talked about, his accuracy, his 21 years in this game. He knows what he's doing. He understands playbooks. He also has the latitude to change plays. I think we saw that at work. He's not adverse to throw to the middle of the field. And more importantly, the coaching staff is not telling him not to. I think this is a quarterback who, if he does get protected, which is a concern, given what we saw yesterday, and he took some brutal hits, make no mistake about it. And when you're 41 going on 42, those hits last longer, feel worse. Those have to reduce in the amount of frequency we see them. But, I mean, he was just in command of everything. And you could tell, I think, in more than anything in this game, he was motivated. He may not have said so.
Absolutely.
He may have downplayed it. But afterwards, the true words came out where he said basically, yeah, I wanted to show them that I'm not done. They thought I was. I'm not. How long will this last? Hopefully a whole season with him. If he's healthy, he can be a difference maker in a lot of games. And when you're down, I mean, in the past, it's, as you say, very difficult to overcome with some of these quarterbacks they've had. This guy can dig you out from a deficit. And I think that's the best thing that you can say about this day one, more than anything else, is they have a quarterback who knows how to play the position at a level that we haven't seen since Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, and that is just by far the story, is suddenly it looks like, wow, that was a mature NFL passing game. We saw a little bit of it with Russell Wilson last year. I mean, go back to that Bengals game, 44-38.
Even the Washington game. He threw a
little
touchdown
bit. Yeah,
late
yeah,
in the
yeah.
game.
But I think I'm talking more about scheme matched with quarterback. I mean, how many times have all of us, even in Ben's later years, said, where is the explosion in your pass game? Where is the middle of the field? How come other teams always have wide open guys running free across the middle of the field and the Steelers, for seasons at a time, literally never do? Well, they did yesterday. So credit to Arthur Smith and to Rodgers. And by the way, credit to those two and Mike Tomlin. And I'm not sure how the dynamic worked in game, but somebody was smart enough to say, and this hasn't happened all the time. In fact, it's happened rarely. Our running game sucks today, so how about we abandon it and just wing the ball around the field? And that's how you get 30 passes and 22 runs in a basically a one-score game for most of it. And I respect them for that decision. We're probably going to criticize the run game today, but I'm really not of a mind to do it yet. And the offensive line, give me points. Give me 34 points. There's going to be problems every week. They're going to get doses of Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson and all kinds of defenses coming up here. Give me 34 points. We can talk about the details later. Give me wide open receivers. Give me bunches of touchdowns. Give me a quarterback who throws for 4 touchdowns and looks to be in complete command and has the other team on the run for pretty much the whole game on the run. I can think of 2 or 3 games in 5 years, and that's a long, long time in the NFL, Bob, to have such a sorry, sick offense. And for 1 week at least, I'm encouraged because they look pretty healthy and they have a quarterback who, if he's given time and if he's in one piece, clearly can still get the job done. Now, well, I know those are big ifs moving forward.
There are a lot
forward.
Of ifs, but it's 1 week. And so I think everything has to be, basically use the 1 week as your barometer here. That's all we have to go on. And that's why I'm not going to overreact to a lot of things. Although we will react to the defense. We'll get into that. But I will say this. The defense, when it had to, at the end of the game, made some stops. They didn't do it all game long. In fact, they still struggled in the fourth quarter. There's luck along the way. When you come back and win a game and there are 7 lead changes in this, you have a tip ball from Metcalf to Jonnu back to Metcalf. If that play doesn't happen, I don't think down and distance is in their favor, and they may never get into field position. They might,
right.
They may not.
Right.
But, I mean, that's all part of it. But you have confidence in a quarterback who can do those things. And I think moving forward, the relationship between him and Arthur Smith, a lot of people have talked about it. What is it? Will there be this autonomy that a quarterback of his stature should have? And I think the answer is yes, and I think Arthur Smith respects that. I think Mike Tomlin knows that. And so I think he's going to be doing a lot of audibilizing, all the things that a quarterback of his stature should do. And I think that's a plus because he knows it. He can see it more than anyone else they've had here in the past 7 years.
No doubt. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I thought Ben could too. He just wasn't right. given the freedom to do it.
Well, that was late Ben. I'm talking about before Ben. You know, when he was, I think he could do that. And he did do that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Make no mistake, Chris Boswell, the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers bailed out a horrifying defense yesterday. And yet, and I'll go back to when you're going to talk that big about your defense before the season, that's a check you need to cash every week, just like a paycheck, every single week. Not every 2 weeks, Bob. Every single week, when you talk that big, you better cash that check when you write it. You better. The 85 Bears had one bad game, and that was to Dan Marino, not Justin Fields. So it better end fast. However, going by the topic that the morning show had rolling, which I liked, do you feel better or worse about the Steelers? I feel better. If it had been reversed, if it had been a 9-7 game like we all thought, or 13-9 like Ray Fittipaldo legendarily picked, Bob, then I think I'd be saying, man, this is just more of the same. They played a crap offense, and they shut them down, and they can't do anything offensively. And how does this, you know, translate to future games against big-time opponents? In other words, I have more faith that the defense, after a poor performance, can get it together and at least be good or respectable than I would have if the offense did and if Rodgers was really bad. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I feel better about them today.
Because I think in time, if they're going to score, they're not going to score 34 points or 32 points or whatever it was every day. They're not. But if you have an offense that scores more than 17, which they should be able to do on a fairly regular basis from what we've seen, that takes pressure off that defense. You know, and it makes it a little easier to attack. When teams are trailing and they have to do certain things, it works to your advantage, and they have players who can take advantage of those situations. So I think that's why it was important to see this in week one. And hopefully beyond. I think I should expect to see it in week two against Seattle. They struggled yesterday. I watched their game. They didn't do a lot offensively at all. I think the Steelers should have their way with them, and they should be able to move the ball at home, and it'll be a very loud crowd, very anxious crowd to see this offense in play. So the defense should be better by virtue of the offense being better. That is to say, there's no pressure on them to hold teams to 12 points, 14 points every time they play.
412-928-9370, 928-9370. You feeling better about this team yesterday and your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers being the biggest story? If it was for you, maybe for some people, the defense's horrific performance and they just got shredded. I mean, it looked like last year's Ravens game. Yeah, they made some plays at the end, but they needed a 60-yard field goal. And they needed Aaron Glenn to go for 2 points too early and chase that point the rest of the day and have only one timeout for the last drive. And Quincy, who's the linebacker, 56, who made that idiotic play on the sidelines.
Oh, on the sidelines, yeah. You can't make those kinds of
plays.
That
changed the whole game.
Yeah.
The Steelers were down by nine.
Those are the Jets being the Jets at certain times. Yes. And the turnover was another one, although Kenneth Gainwell did a very good job to force it.
The returner had the ball in the wrong hand,
right.
But yeah, he did. But that play, out of bounds on Caleb Johnson. The Jets are up 9. They've just scored. It's late in the third quarter, and it's a 2-yard loss.
And he was out of bounds by 2 yards.
And that idiot hit him probably 3 to 5 yards out of bounds, and I identified it right away, put it right out there on Twitter, that right there was sheer stupidity. In a potential game-changing play. And nothing was ever the same after that play. And those are the Jets. At some point, the Jets are going to be the Jets. And that's why they were the most undisciplined team in the league last year, the most penalized team in the league last year. And they failed to take advantage of it. And they even sounded like the Jets after the game. It sounded like a moral victory for them. Justin Fields is out there talking about, oh, the Steelers got all these guys on their defense and we put up 32 points. So what? You're in what, year 4, year 5? Where is he now? You're supposed to win that game. And on your last 2 drives, you did nothing. Your coach didn't trust you to throw on third and three on the second last drive, so you punted it back to the Steelers. And then on the last drive, all you needed was a field goal and you couldn't get it done. And you're talking after the game like it was some sort of victory for you? No, you're 0-1 and you're the Jets.
Well, I will say that that would have been a first down completion if not for the hit for Jalen Ramsey. So they would have had 40-some seconds to try to get in field goal range, and they may have had a different outcome had not that play been made. But it did. And Jalen Ramsey, I thought, played a very good game considering the fact that he was all over the place.
What a play.
That was a good play because it was first down. They would have gotten more opportunities to move the ball closer to field goal range. And as we saw last night in the Buffalo game, you don't need a lot of time to move. Right at the end of the first down, I'm going to digress into this, but to get 1 second on the clock to get into field goal range, those 3 points were huge. That's my point. At the end of that game, if not for that hit by Jalen Ramsey, who knows what might have happened? They could have moved into field goal range and won the game, but I also think they made a mistake, start chasing 2 points. We talk about this a lot. When is it too late or too early to go for 2 points? You know, if you had taken the 5-yard penalty after they scored that touchdown, just kick the extra point.
Kick the extra points early in the game.
And if you're going to try for two, what the play call they made was straight up the gut running. That's the wrong play call. Spread the field, use Justin Fields' legs to his advantage, and give you options.
Well, I will say that we're running it up the gut. And you know who made a big play?
Not at that crunch. Everyone's solidly put together at the goal line.
I know, but they did whatever they wanted to. It's easy to say after the fact.
What about the
second-two-point conversion? Did you like that play? They spread it out there.
Yeah, but that was a stupid play. I think Fields missed an open receiver who was right at the goal line and went for the triple coverage.
Well, you can't say that every play that doesn't work is stupid.
My point is they start chasing early.
Yes.
That's not the way to play it, especially if you're a young team like this. Just keep as many options on the table, and by missing that extra point, and then you get a gift that the Steelers take a penalty, kick it again. It's 5 yards closer.
The same thing happened in the Buffalo game. Sean McDermott turned a 7-point game into an 8-point game. Then he turned an 8-point game into a 2-score game. I thought the Bills were down to 0 points by the end of the game. They were going to start taking more points off the board. Bob, I don't understand that. Is it that big of a difference from the 2 to the 1? We would never think of it from the 2. But get us to the 1? Hell yeah, get back on the field. Let's go.
I just think when it comes to 2-point conversions, I'm going to do it when I think I need to do it, not when I'm going to give an opportunity early in the game. And if I miss, I give them an opportunity to get right back and then control my future decisions in this game.
It just, as soon as it happened, you knew it. It was like that 9, that 10-9, the Jets 9 might as well have been on the most gigantic scoreboard in the world, just blaring off and on in red because he knew it wasn't going away. And it never went away the whole game. The game should have gone to overtime. I'll tell you, though, it's funny, Bob, how games are often decided in a large way on the quietest of plays. Like, we're going to talk about a 60-yard field goal and the miracle catch by DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey's hit, which was really memorable. We're going to remember that one. But the game was largely decided on a nothing 2-point conversion where you couldn't even tell who made the play, just plowing into the line. But you know who did upon further review? Isaiah Loudermilk stood up his guy and pushed him into the backfield. Then Elliott came in from the left. Highsmith came in from the right. And that's a play that really determined in a lot of ways the mathematics of the game from there on out.
And that's why it's significant early in the game. You may not think much at the time. Okay, it's 9-7. There's a lot of time left. It is a big deal because it becomes something that New York now has to account for every time they score. Do you do it now? Do I try to get it back? What do I do? Kick here? And then if you miss another 2-point conversion, which they did, those are the points. In
Aaron
a 2-point
Glenn
game,
got,
it should have gone to overtime. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
All they have to do is kick extra points. But as we saw in the Cleveland game, they still can't figure that out. They missed an extra point and a field goal and then lost the game by 1 to the hapless Bengals.
I know. They almost lost that game again. They were outgained by a 3-1 margin by the Browns, and their idiot kicker misses a 10-yard field
goal. We've heard that before.
And then what else happened in that game? There was a missed field goal.
And a missed extra point.
And a missed extra point.
Yeah,
the Bengals should have lost.
Absolutely, they should have, and they didn't. And as a result,
I'll tell you what: if I'm a Steelers fan right now, I feel really good coming out of this week. I've got to believe the defense is going to be a little better, and you might not need a historically great defense.
No, if this offense
just need an average defense
is historically good by virtue of what we've seen over the last 5 years, I'm talking about instead of averaging 14 to 17 points a game, you're averaging 23.
Yes.
that defense will be better and good enough to win games when you score that many
points. Look what else happened, Bob. The Bengals were horrifyingly bad in that game. The Browns, we know, stink, although they'll probably beat the Steelers at home. And then the Ravens, I mean, at some point we have to start talking about how they screw up games. There was a number out there.
Oh, my God. It was 99.1%, I think, win rate probability with like 5 minutes left. There was no way Buffalo could win that game.
Right. The Ravens just have a way of screwing things up. And you can ask our boss back down the hall. He's from basically from Buffalo, from Fredonia. After the Bills scored that lucky touchdown late, I said, you watch the Ravens fumble here. They could screw up a lemonade stand. And they did.
And of all people, Derrick Henry, who had such a magnificent game.
Yeah. But so he fumbles. But the bottom line is, listen to this number, Bob. Listen to this. The Ravens suffered their fifth loss after leading by 10 or more in the fourth quarter since 2019. That's tied for the most in the NFL. Guess with who, Bob?
Wrong.
Limits?
The Bills.
No. The Bears.
Ooh.
Think about that, Bob. Harbaugh cannot finish these games, including the playoff game last year. They are a way better team than the Bills. Way better.
Roster-wise, they absolutely are.
Way better.
And they showed that for the first how many minutes of that game?
Yes, they dominated that game. They dominated the playoff game. But if I'm a Steeler fan, I'm watching that last night and licking my chops, Bob. I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If Cincinnati, if this is – there should be a lot of pressure on their offense. If that's the best they can do against Cleveland's defense, they got to do better. And I think they're in the same boat as Steeler fans talking about their defense. Their offense will be better than what we saw yesterday, but it was terrible. When Joe Burrow throws for 113 yards against
And their defense will be worse than it was yesterday. Bank on that.
Absolutely. The only reason it wasn't is because Cleveland made some mistakes as well.
I wonder how the Ravens emotionally bounce back from that. Like the Steelers.
Well, didn't they have a loss last year the same way? Remember when Isaiah Likely's foot was on
Not like that.
No, but I mean it was.
To Kansas City.
Yeah, it was a game that, man, they should have won. They could have won if not for this much space, you know, where his toe was on the out-of-bounds line.
I know, but this game they had pinned on
absolutely,
everything.
Absolutely, I get what you're saying.
The team they lost
But they
to.
Bounced back pretty well last year.
They did. But, man, at some point, the emotional damage that's inflicted there, I wonder. I guess all I'm saying is, if I'm a Steeler fan, I have concerns about this defense and other concerns, but I'm feeling pretty darn good today about the division and about the fact that if you get into a duel with one of these quarterbacks, you have a guy who, if given time, can really exploit people. I mean, really exploit them.
I mean, just the first drive, how long have we talked about no points on first drive? First quarter, no points. First drive after they gave up a lot of yards and a 3-0 lead. And I thought the only reason why the Jets kicked a field goal there is because they got too conservative and they didn't trust Justin Fields. They had opportunities in their first drive to move that ball even further, and they got, you know, okay, let's take the 3 points. Here comes Rodgers, 3rd and 10, 11 to Freiermuth, 3rd and 10. He goes to Metcalf, who makes, boy, you talk about speed. You see what he can do when he gets his hands on the ball,
man.
And then turns it on.
Yes.
And then the beautiful play design and execution for Skowronek. Nobody thought Skowronek would be the guy who scores first, but he was.
This is Randy Feuchner's dream, Bob. throw short, run long. That happened a lot yesterday. So did something else that we're going to talk about next. I tried to stay away from this topic largely, but it was unavoidable. This teeth gnashing about the second receiver. Have the Steelers found one? But your general reactions. What was the big story here? Aaron Rodgers' performance. You feeling better about this team? Does the defense have you very worried? 412-928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray Fittipaldo's report card is coming up later. Bob, decisions. I know that's your favorite.
I love decisions.
Yeah,
there's a million in a game.
That's your favorite topic, and I know that is your favorite topic, so we're certainly going to get to that, including the Steelers' decision to bring in Jalen Ramsey and trade Minkah Fitzpatrick. That sure looks good today.
With a Jonnu Smith throw-in.
Yes.